Seeing that Wheel of Brader smokestack with Baltimore on the side was like seeing Cinderella Castle, man. I was like, we are here.
People literally get dropped off in our neighborhood to have a good time. And I participate in absolutely none of that.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Jessica Henkin, and with me today is...
Aaron Henkin. Did I do that at the right time?
Yes, that's correct. Aaron Henkin, who's my husband, and also a former radio personality on the Baltimore airwaves.
At some point in history that is fast receding into antiquity.
That's not... true. Okay. But you were an entity on the airwaves for Charm City, and that's the theme of today's podcast episode, which is Charm City, two stories about people who were able to find the charm in Charm City.
You found the charm in Charm City when you met me. And you moved here.
Yeah. I mean, yes. That's
and you've been stuck here ever since, like so many other people who moved to Charm City and never seemed to leave.
That's right. You ripped me from the claws of New York City into the tender, loving arms of you and Baltimore City.
We love this city. We love each other.
Mm-hmm.
We love hearing Stoop stories. So this show was a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Who's on the episode, the podcast episode today?
Well, this show was in partnership with Visit Baltimore, which is, you know, a great organization that tries to get people to do exactly that, to visit Baltimore. And so this first story is from Chris Reel, who is sharing his experience as a tour guide for Baltimore City. Take a listen.
Great to see so many of you out here tonight supporting this great city. My name is Chris Reel, and I am a Baltimorean. And I have been a Baltimorean my whole life, born at St. Agnes Hospital in the southwest part of the city. Grew up technically just over the city line in Catonsville, but my whole life growing up, we were here. We were in Baltimore. We were always here. My parents made sure of it. My granddad made sure that we were here as often as possible. We looked forward to it. We'd come down to the waterfront. You know, we did all the hits. We went to the aquarium and the science center and the and Harbor Place. But we also came down just to for a night out, just to have dinner. We'd come for sporting events, Orioles games, back when they were in Waverly at Memorial Stadium. I can remember that. We would... even some of the deep cuts, like the Oktoberfest at the 5th Regiment Armory, which was a lot of fun for a lot of years. The Italian festivals in Little Italy. All the cultural festivals all over the city. We were here for all of it. And we loved every minute of it. And I thought of this city as like Disneyland. I mean, coming up 95... let me tell you, seeing that Wheel of Brader smokestack with Baltimore on the side was like seeing Cinderella Castle, man. I was like, we are here. We're about to have a good night. We're about to have some fun. We're about to learn something. It's going to be great. And I couldn't wait to be here. I wanted to spend all my time here growing up. And so naturally, when I graduated from high school and it was time for me to start making my own decisions, I chose to go to college in Orlando, Florida. The University of Central Florida was a university not many people had heard of. They had a pretty good film and television program, and I thought, that's what I want to do. I'm going to head on down to Florida for a couple of years and see what that's all about. And pretty much the entire time I was in Orlando, all I talked about was Baltimore. It probably got pretty irritating. I'd be like, oh, man, that's not a river. You guys don't have, you know, that's not, you call that a crab cake? Give me a break. Come on. You got to come to Baltimore. We know how to do it. So even at that point, I knew this was home and this was where I belonged. And so when I graduated, I moved back home. And my first job out of college was for a spring break company. And this was a tough, tough job. My job was to convince college students to take spring break trips to places like Jamaica, Cancun, and Acapulco. I mean, it was rough. And then the worst part was when the spring break period actually rolled around, we would go down on site and work those programs. So I had to spend 6 weeks every year in Jamaica running spring break programs. Brutal. It was awesome. I loved every minute of it. And it was my first foray into the tourism and hospitality space, which I never really considered career-wise. I did that for 4 years, which was probably 3 years too long, and then decided I had to stop pretending I was still in college and go out and find a real job. And I was at a crossroads. I didn't really know what to do. I had a radio TV degree, a little bit of experience in tourism. I kind of wanted to be an educator, but I also wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to tell stories. I wanted to write. I wanted to perform. And I wasn't sure if there was a way I could do all of the above. And then I saw an ad in the newspaper. A company called Baltimore Rent-A-Tour was looking for step-on tour guides. And like many of you, I immediately said, what the hell is a step-on tour guide? It's basically when a motor coach group comes into the city and a local guide hops on the bus, takes the microphone, and conducts a tour for all the folks on board. So you tell the driver which way to go, and then you point things out on the right and the left, and that's pretty much all there is to it. I said, I think I can do that. I know a lot of Baltimore stories. I went in, interviewed, I got the job. And not long after that, I found myself in a position to actually buy the company, which I did in 2007, almost 20 years ago. It wasn't expensive, but it was mine. And I thought this would be an opportunity for me to own my own business maybe for a little while. And now I can't imagine doing anything else 20 years later. I tell Baltimore stories for a living. Like Jessica said, my passion has become my profession. I love it. I love talking about this city. People come from literally all over the world, and I get to showcase my favorite place. And I'm lucky because it's something I'd probably be doing anyway, so it's nice that it's something I can get paid to do now too. I've given so many tours for so many different groups, but I want to tell you tonight about the most memorable tour I ever gave. I got a call from the Baltimore Visitor Center, and they said, we have a guest here who is blind, and she would like a tour of Baltimore. Can you do it? And I said, yes, absolutely. And that's been my philosophy as a business owner for the last 20 years. Just say yes, and then figure it out. So I said yes, and then I started to figure it out. Where could I take this woman that she would, places she could experience using her other senses, places she could smell or hear or touch. So we drove by the H&S Bakery, Domino's Sugar. She could smell the bread and the molasses. Walked around the Inner Harbor waterfront. Could hear the water lapping up against the seawall. Could hear the people laughing, talking to one another. Went to the B&O Railroad Museum. She could feel those enormous locomotives. Feel the history of American railroading. And then we went to one of my favorite spots, the University of Baltimore. Right there in the center of Gordon Plaza, there's a statue of Edgar Allan Poe, who, of course, is a big part of Baltimore's story. And I thought this would be a great opportunity to talk about Edgar Allan Poe, get out of the car, and allow her to feel around that statue a little bit. So I'm talking about Edgar Allan Poe, and she's feeling the statue. I'm talking about how important he is to the city, and she's feeling his hands, his face, reaching around the back. And she says, oh, back here behind his right elbow, there's a book carved into the statue. And I said, what? Really? And I walk around to the back of the statue, and sure enough, the artist had made this decision to include a leather-bound book carved right into that statue of Edgar Allan Poe. I had shown that statue to literally hundreds of people at that point. I never saw that book before. Not until I was with a blind person did I see that statue in its entirety. And that was a profound moment for me, because I realized that no matter how much I think I might know, I thought I knew everything there was to know about that statue. I knew the sculptor and the year, and I knew all about Edgar Allan Poe. I never saw those books before. And I realized that no matter how much I think I might know about Baltimore, there are always going to be new things to discover. And sometimes the only way to discover them is by experiencing the world from someone else's point of view, from someone else's perspective. That really stayed with me. And something else occurred to me after I gave that tour. I think a lot of folks look at Baltimore the way I used to look at that statue. They think they know what it's all about. They think they have a handle on it. Maybe they saw a TV show about it. But they didn't take the time to look harder. They didn't get the whole picture. They didn't get the last piece of the puzzle. They didn't get the full story. They didn't flip the record over and listen to the B-side. And so that's what I try to do every day. I call myself a tour guide, but I like to think of myself as an ambassador, as a storyteller for a place that I care about very, very deeply, a place that I love very, very much. And every single day, I try my hardest to show all those folks that are visiting, to show the whole world those books behind the statue. So thank you all very much for welcoming me tonight. It's been a pleasure.
What I love about Chris's story the most is just his unapologetic and absolutely enthusiastic support and love of Baltimore City. It's just great. He's its biggest fan. And so it's perfect that he is a tour guide.
These were stories recorded from an event that took place, if I remember correctly, at the Baltimore Museum of Industry.
Yes, a beautiful, beautiful part of Baltimore's history.
It's so fun to do a live stoop show at the BMI because we set up in such a way the storyteller's there on the stage and behind them is that big glass wall.
Yep.
And on the other side of the glass wall is the Inner Harbor.
And the Domino's Sugar sign.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And often people are on little sailboats. It's great. Which reminds me, when Aaron moved here from Chicago, you were like, Baltimore is right on the ocean. And then you were like, where's the ocean? Like, you moved to Hampton.
It is true. I moved here without looking at a map of Maryland. It just was on a whim. I moved with some friends and was like, okay, Baltimore. Packed up the U-Haul, moved in on 34th Street in Hampton in the middle of the night. The next morning, walking down 36th Street, I was like, look at these little places called snowball stands that sell ice cream, I guess. We must be right near the beach. Like, I had my flip-flops on. I was ready to hit the waves.
Yep.
And then I learned, oh, that's not quite how the geography works around here.
Well, I mean, we are on the bay.
If I had been plugged in with the Live Baltimore organization, though.
Or Visit Baltimore. Both of these organizations.
Either of those, I probably would have been better informed.
Right. What I love the most about that story is that you had just come off of a University of Chicago education, which is, you know, arguably what.
Did not take a geography class there.
We'll be back after a quick break with a second story about Charm City. So this next storyteller is also an enthusiastic fan of Baltimore and just of life in general. She's just a barrel of laughs and wonderfully positive. Take a listen to Jess Watson's story about coffee sleeves. I'll leave it at that.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jessica Watson. Yes! So I have lived in Baltimore on and off for 15 years. That means that I've been a part of a lot of communities and a lot of neighborhoods. Right now, I presently reside in Fells Point. So for those of you who don't know, Fells Point has a bit of a reputation. We are known for our nightlife, yes. We have bars, we have great restaurants, we have live music. People literally get dropped off in our neighborhood to have a good time. They're loud, they're energetic, they're boisterous, and I participate in absolutely none of that. That's right. You are looking at the one Fells Point resident who likes to be in bed by 10:30 p.m. sharp. See, we have some others who appreciate that time as well. But what I really love about Fells Point and many of the neighborhoods in Baltimore is the cafe scenes that I find in the morning. So I will take a cozy corner in a cafe over a noisy bar, pretty much any day of the week. My favorite cafe in Fells Point is Patango. It sits out on a pier. And in true millennial fashion, I order my avocado toast and my oat milk latte. And I sit down and I am good. I think what attracts me to the cafe scene in Baltimore is that if you look inside any cafe, it's really very reminiscent of what a community feels like. It's a splattering of people. Some are riding solo, some are mingled, some are in a group. We're all doing our own thing, but we're all part of a bigger ecosystem, and we're together. It feels like quintessential Baltimore energy to me. So you have to imagine that I was surprised when in 2015, I walked into Coba Cafe, which was my local cafe at the time in Federal Hill. And when I ordered my cup of coffee, I looked down and I saw a sleeve that had a national advertisement on it. And I was like, what is this? So I went to the owner, Adam, and I said, Adam, what is this? And Adam turned to me and he chuckled and he said, hey, you know what? A sales rep dropped off some free sleeves. They're free, so we're using them. I said, okay, got it. So if it's free, you will use it. I think that's true for like all humans, right? But it also got me thinking, if I don't want to see a national advertisement on my coffee cup sleeve, what would I like to see instead? And it turns out a message from a fellow neighbor in Baltimore would do just fine. And so that's how the Have a Nice Day Project was born. This is a quarterly social gathering that bounces around Baltimore City. And while people are mixing and mingling and having a good time, they're also writing positive messages on blank coffee cup sleeves. And then we turn around and we donate those sleeves to locally owned cafes here in Baltimore City. Now, over the years, we've donated to a lot of cafes, like Charmed Kitchen over in Patterson Park, One Do Coffee Roasters in Canton, A Demand, a new cafe that opened a few months ago in Hamden, and we always donate back to Coba Cafe in Federal Hill. I think that the thing that I love the most about this event is that it serves peak Baltimore cafe in energy. That means that when I walk in and look at a table, I see a man in a three-piece business suit sitting next to a woman with her hair in a ponytail, wearing those iconic Lululemon yoga pants, sitting next to a mother teaching her daughter how to write the word love on a coffee sleeve. Now, I didn't start this project with some grand idea about kindness. I think I started it because as I was coming into my adult years in Baltimore, I became very aware of the stories that we carry and the things that we experience as humans in this city. And I want you to think about that. Within any given year, you're likely to experience grief, love, heartache, anger, frustration. But the thing is, all of that's kind of flying under the radar. I look out into this room tonight, and I don't know what you're going through. You look up here at me, and you can make some assumptions, but you really don't know my story. So that means that words like, you belong, you are enough, Your younger self is so proud of who you are today. That matters. That can change a moment. That can change a day. And that can change somebody's life. So 10 plus years and 25,000 coffee cup sleeves later, you're probably wondering, who's buying all those sleeves in bulk, right? It's me. I volunteered as tribute. But I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. I've been writing that off as a business expense for years. So my accountant just thinks that my company drinks a lot of coffee. But here's also what I know to be true. The things that bind us are always going to outweigh what divides us as people. And sometimes it takes a small act of kindness, like words on a coffee sleeve, to remind us of that very human fact. So if Baltimore has a B-side, and I know it does, this is what I think it sounds like. A room full of people, a stack of coffee cup sleeves, and the quiet reminder that one small act of kindness can change this city. Thank you.
All right. That was Jessica Watson's story about establishing the Have a Nice Day project, which is such a great thing to do for any city, but especially a city like Baltimore that often doesn't have, I mean, that's not the first thing that people hear about Baltimore.
Charm City.
Yeah, Charm City. They usually hear stories that we're not going to mention.
On that deep note of wisdom,
yeah.
We'll leave you here at the end of this episode.
Well, I didn't go to University of Chicago, so, you know, I went to state school, so that's
well, you probably knew where the beach was, though, in Baltimore. That's so you got me there.
That's just like a byproduct of my, you know, being raised in Annapolis. Okay.
Friends of the Stoop, thank you, as always, for tuning into the podcast. Thank you for coming to the live shows. Thank you, those of you, and I know there are many of you who listen to this podcast who have, in fact, been on the stage yourself under the spotlight with the microphone in front of you and told a story of your own. You know, we're always looking for more storytellers to add to that ever-growing roster.
4,500. That's how many.
Unreal.
Isn't that crazy?
4,500 of you have taken your turn.
I've done it.
Some of you are, been a couple times. But, you know, whether you have before or always wanted to and never tried, we always do have new shows, new themes coming up. We do the show every month or two.
Yeah.
Get your name in now and early at stoopstorytelling.com. That's where you can sign up to tell a story. You can hear the whole archive of all these other 4,000 plus storytellers. And you can see what shows are coming up next to come and join us live.
Thanks for listening. And thanks, as always, to Maureen Harvey for taking care of us behind the scenes. See you next time.